And tried we were all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. It is so good to see everybody today. Welcome to everyone. Welcome if you're visiting with us. The weather is just so beautiful, and it's just been so gorgeous, and it's just great to have everybody out today on another beautiful day, and a lot of great things going on. You know, we've come through some really strange times, and 2020 wasn't strange enough. The Razorbacks are playing better football than anybody. We could very much be in the end times. So it's a good day to be in church because anything could happen at this point. God cares about everything we go through. And he knows we worry about many things and for many reasons. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Do not worry." Some people use the expression worried sick. And that's because that's a very real thing. Worry is a spiritual issue, but it can affect us physically. So this morning, we're going to look at what the Bible says about overcoming anxiety. The first thing we can obviously do is pray. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." The second thing we can do is what David said in Psalm 139:23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." It's possible that our anxiety is coming from our own sin. And one of the ways we can begin healing is by taking a good look within ourselves. David said to God, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." And God will help us if we're willing to look within ourselves. David said, "He'll show us the root of the problem, and he'll forgive our sins." David came to know the depth of God's forgiveness because he too was rescued from a very dark place. David said in Psalm 32:1-5, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one who the Lord will never count his sin against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Amen. It's very painful to keep silent about our sin and waste away. Admitting is the first step to healing. David said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And not only did he forgive David of his sin, David said he forgave the guilt of my sin. And guilt is definitely one place anxiety can come from. But God can forgive it all. Sometimes anxiety comes not from sin, but just from adversity. Adversity is everywhere. Something that makes us afraid, or not knowing the future. Something that one of our loved ones may be going through. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we read about the adversity that Elijah faced. Fearing for his life. A crippling fear. 1 Kings 19 says, Ahab had told Jezebel how Elijah had killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah that she was going to do the exact same thing to him. Afraid, Elijah ran for his life. The Bible says he went a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under a bush, and prayed that he might die. Crippling fear. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. But God sent an angel to him and said, and touched him, and said, get up and eat. And Elijah ate and drank, but then he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him again and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, of all places. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Finally, after a series of events, the Lord came to Elijah in a gentle whisper and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah repeated his case to the Lord. And the Lord told him, go back the way you came. He showed Elijah his plan to protect him and that he was not finished with him yet. Then God reminded Elijah something very important, that he was not alone. The Lord still had 7,000 in Israel whose knees had not bowed down to Baal. See, we can find ourselves in a very similar situation as Elijah. Fear and worry can overtake us where we want to run away and just hide. But here's the good news. God sees us. He cares for us. And he comes to us in a gentle voice. The question is, will we listen? He touched Elijah and said, get up and eat. You need strength for your journey. God told him, it's time to get back to what you were doing. And that he would protect Elijah in the process and reminded him that he was not alone. God had to tell Elijah several times, get up and eat. Elijah, like a lot of us, when we go through anxiety and worry and depression, we want to sleep. And sometimes we need rest. Sometimes that's a part of healing. But then God touched him again. I wonder how many times God has touched us again and again and called us to get up, but we didn't want to hear him. Maybe he's touching someone this morning, calling you or I to get up. It's time to get back to what you were doing. Or for some people, maybe it's time to do something completely new, different than the things that got you to that point in your anxiety in the first place. Do the things that God is telling you to do. Do the things that the experts, the professionals, and maybe the doctors, do the things that the people who love you are asking you to do. In other words, be a good patient. Everything you need to do to get well might be right in front of you, but only you have the power to take hold of it and do the things that God is asking you to do. Will you trust him? The next thing that we can do to overcome anxiety is to watch our intake. And here we must think about how our prayers match up with our daily actions. Many times we're praying to God to give us peace, and he wants to, but there's no room for it because we have filled our lives with so many other things, the very things that are bringing the anxiety. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips." He goes on in Proverbs chapter 4 and says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." I couldn't help but think this is where the song, the famous children's song, must have got its inspiration. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Because the Father up above is looking down in love. The song is right because it's consistent with the Bible. God loves us, and he wants us to be careful about what we are taking in to our hearts and into our minds. There are so many different channels of intake that we have to beware of. Whether it be through the things that we say and how we say it, or the things that we look at all day long, the thoughts that we entertain, the places we go, it's impossible to fill our minds with the peace of God if we are filling it constantly with the very things that are bringing the anxiety. And this includes relationships. To avoid anxiety, we must beware of toxic relationships. Probably one of the best things that we can do to monitor our intake in this world is to turn off this thing right here. I saw one preacher, he's the one that I got inspiration from this for this sermon, and he said, "I'm going to show you something amazing that your phone can do. If you hit this button right here and this button at the same time and slide this over, something amazing happens." Right? Probably 90% of a lot of people's anxiety just goes away. Why not? Why not starting today decide on a big portion of our day that we're going to not silence, but we're going to power off the phone? Do it. Be good to yourself. What about the levels of anxiety people take in by constantly watching the news? stopped preaching and started meddling. There's probably never been a more important time to turn off the news. In case you don't know this, television and media are experts at appealing to the sinful desires and sensuality of humans. They've learned to master the art of it, manipulate, and market it to get us stirred up and to keep us stirred up, baiting us to constantly want more. Be good to yourself. Turn off the news. How is God going to give us His peace if we are constantly filling our minds with fear, hate, discontent, worry about every single crisis in the world? Most people have a hard enough time managing their own lives. Why would we think we could manage the problems of the entire world? The good news is that once we've gained back control of our intake, we can begin filling ourselves with the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 through 16 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." We fill ourselves with God's peace by being thankful, meditating on God's word, and encouraging one another with spiritual songs as we thank God for all that He is and all that He's done. That's what brings peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 says, and I left you a little assignment on your printout that you can actually do. I'd really like to all of us to think about these words right here and put something in the blank where you know God is showing you these things in your life. And write that down in the blank and think about them. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And what does it say will happen? "And the God of peace will be with you." The Bible is laying out the remedy to overcome anxiety and fill ourselves with the peace of God. Nobody said it was easy, but God has given us a plan, and He's given us hope that it can be done. But like Elijah, He's touching us again and again. Get up. You have to get up and eat. You and I have to be the ones that meet Him halfway. Nobody could make us do it. We have to be willing to do these things. Finally, a most important step in overcoming anxiety is to not try and do it alone. I like how this preacher, who I got the inspiration for this message from, explains the word anxious. He said the letter I in the middle of the word anxious is for when I try to do it myself, I stay stuck in the middle of my anxiety. Isn't that something? But the word us at the end of the word anxious stands for how we bring being anxious to an end. We bring anxiety to an end by asking for help and not doing it alone. Stop focusing on I and start focusing on us. Whether that be a professional or faithful Christians. God created us to do this together. Anxiety is something that happens to everybody. It is nothing to be ashamed of, to ask for help. It happened to Elijah, the man of God. And it even happened to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, 38, Jesus himself said, praying in the garden on his way to the cross, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He knows what it's like to be afraid and to feel alone. On the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He felt that. He felt that. But the key is the final thing he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When we're feeling that way, maybe you and I are feeling that way this morning, will we surrender our will? We're the ones that can make the choice. We're the ones that hold the power to turn it over to God. But only you and I can do that. In Isaiah 53:4, such a powerful verse, says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering." I believe this is saying not just our sin that he bore on the cross, but all anxiety and worry that there's ever been from the beginning of the world to the end, he took into his body on the cross that day. And that's why we can lay it down. All of it. That's what Peter is saying. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If you're not a Christian, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And just like he told David, he'll not just forgive your sin, he'll forgive the guilt of your sin. But for Christians, the invitation is simple. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If the invitation is for you, please come while we stand.